understand that, you know, this is somebody who is like an uncle to me. He's somebody who helped me find Christ.
Barack knows what it means to be a black man living in a country that is controlled by rich white people.
Michelle and I told Reverend Otis Moss that we were withdrawing as members of Trinity. United Church of Christ, my home church.
I believe there's an almighty God who speaks to different faiths.
I believe we worship the same God. Islam is peace.
I am awed and honored and humbled to have been elected by my sister and brother bishops in the Episcopal Church.
Well, the headline reads in today's paper, judge to rule in October on stem cell funding suit. It was several years ago that Amendment 2 in Missouri brought to light the fact that there were many in Missouri, apparently a majority of voters, whether they knew it or not, voting for embryonic stem cell research. Stem cells were held out as almost a cure-all, and many still do hold them out. Well, now in Missouri, whatever embryonic stem cell research is done will be gauged by what is legal at the federal level. What about the funding? We're going to talk about the funding or attempts at funding it here in, for the first few minutes of the second hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us as we talk about embryonic stem cell research for the entire hour. 10 minutes with Ed Martin, an attorney from Missouri Roundtable for Life, and then Stem Cell Research 101 with Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute in the latter part of the program. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us this Tuesday, August the 12th, talkback@issuesetc.org. Ed Martin is an attorney for Missouri Roundtable for Life, and he joins us to talk about a stem cell research funding lawsuit in Missouri. Ed, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thank you.
What's the funding for embryonic stem cell research in the state of Missouri?
Well, Todd, one of the reasons why we have a lawsuit pending is to resolve that question right there. Currently, the Amendment 2 and the state of law even before that makes it so that private money, of course, could do embryonic stem cell research in Missouri. We sort of all knew that. If you were so inclined to spend your own money on that, that was fine. What is less clear after Amendment 2, and our lawsuit maintains that the cloners did this intentionally, what they have created is what we fear is an opportunity for state tax dollars to be used for this research. And that is certainly something that a majority of Missourians do not want. They did not know that's what they were voting about, and we want to clarify that. So it's not entirely clear, and that's one of the reasons why we've sort of run into court and asked for a pretty quick adjudication of this question.
If I remember correctly, we were told explicitly by the – in fact, I had a conversation with Don Rubin.
Yep.
On the air, where he told me that Amendment 2 and its aftermath was going to have nothing to do with taxpayer funding of embryonic stem cell research.
Yep.
Not one single penny was going to be asked of Missouri taxpayers for embryonic stem cell research.
Yeah, well, that is what they said. That is what a lot of people have said. Senator Danforth has said something similar. Unfortunately, what the law reads and what Amendment 2 did, and just as a footnote, most people that follow the Amendment 2 battle know that the cloners spent $35 million to pass that, and they had a good portion of that, an incredible high number of dollars spent on lawyers to develop the language. It's hard for me as an attorney to believe that these lawyers didn't know what they were doing, but here's the plain truth. Amendment 2 has altered the language in the Constitution of Missouri in such a way that it appears to be in conflict and therefore overriding bans on funding things like embryonic stem cell and, frankly, abortion services and other stuff. And if that's true, the cloners have created the possibility of funding from, say, the Life Sciences Research Board to fund this research. Even more troubling, if you go to the cloners' own website, whatever it's called, at MissouriCures.com, they will concede that one of the provisions in Amendment 2 was created in such a way to make it so that the legislature may not cut the appropriation of any institution or entity that does cloning with even with private tax dollars. The example they give is if you're a hospital and you get Medicaid dollars, and with private tax dollars that hospital or medical school does embryonic stem cell research, then the legislature cannot cut your your funding. Now, that may have been intended to sort of stop legislators from punishing cloning schools affiliated with hospitals, but what it's done is created an entitlement and an inducement for cloning that will bind Missouri taxpayers into the future. And again, if that's what was intended, and then we want that said up front, and if it wasn't told, it certainly is what the words mean now. So the judge has got to help us sort that out, because we cannot, none of us particularly want cloning to take place, but we certainly don't want tax dollars to be paying for it. That's sort of insult to injury, frankly.
Okay, so basically your case in this situation with the $21 million
yep.
that is supposed to be going to the Life Sciences Research
yep.
Board is that this may set a precedent that the legislature will not be able to undo, given the language of Amendment 2 and its
right.
impact on the Constitution. They may be tying their own hands
exactly.
in terms of funding this kind of research in Missouri.
Exactly. Here's what happened. After Amendment 2 passed, I think we all sort of got knocked on our heels, and sort of many of us were depressed at what happened. And we actually missed a cycle. There was a funding cycle last year where we probably could have made these same objections. But I and some colleagues were studying what the law said, and we realized this problem. And we've simply gone into court to say, Judge, Amendment 2 appears to strike down prohibitions on funding cloning and abortion services and other things. And if it does, Your Honor, that means that the cloners can take tax dollars. Just tell us yes or no, Your Honor. If there's a problem and we're not getting it, okay. Second, Your Honor, our question is, it appears that Amendment 2 has created this ongoing entitlement where you can't cut an institution's budget who does cloning. And again, Your Honor, if that's true, we need to know that, because Missouri citizens and legislators deserve to know. So we're trying to clarify what is a $35 million, I'd argue a kind of fraud perpetrated on Missourians, this Amendment 2, and find out exactly what it means, find it out now so that down in the future years we're not bound by it in a way that we find ourselves surprised and upset.
So this really isn't so much about the $21 million, but about the occasion afforded by this for your questions to be answered. How do you expect this to go?
Well, I think it's certainly a very interesting and I think original tact we've taken. It's made the cloners really nervous and upset, and people have, as usual, started attacking the Roundtable for Life and me and others. So whenever you get them attacking and nervous, you feel like you're onto something. It's the way it works. But mostly this is about clarifying what the law means so that we can move forward. I either way, the answer is okay. We just need to know what the answer is. And ultimately, one of the things that we find is that those who have been moved in their hearts to understand the evil of embryonic stem cell research are a set of people. We know who they are. We know how many there are. There's a lot of other people that may not understand that truth yet, but who do understand that tax dollars shouldn't go to things that are so objectionable to others. And that's kind of an important part of the life movement, to build outward and kind of convince our neighbors about this. So we're excited to be in court in October to fight this out. Court TV has actually asked for permission to have cameras in the TV rooms and in the courtroom and to view it. So we, again, use every moment as a teaching moment to highlight what we think is problematic about this. And I think, we'll look forward to – the money will not move. Tax dollars will not move until January of 2009. So that's why we're hopeful that the judge will clarify the ground rules – for tax dollars being allocated to groups, so that we can make sure that it doesn't go to groups and doesn't bind us in the future.
Many noted when Amendment 2 passed that it was probably going to then be used as a template, or at least this method as a template, for the similar kind of moves toward embryonic stem cell research in other states. And do you expect the judge's ruling here in October to serve as a template on how to sort out the complications coming from things like Amendment 2?
Well, I think one of the things that we have to acknowledge is that the forces that push cloning and other anti-life and anti-family measures are often better financed and in some ways more clever in a worldly way than we are. And by developing strategies like this one, to go to court, to put people on the hot seat, to force people to understand and articulate what they really mean and what the law says, is an important part of moving the ball forward. I'll be honest. I think it's a very helpful step if we get in law that tax dollars cannot be spent on this cloning. And if Don Rubin and Jack Danforth and others will come out and continue to say that and tell the judge that's what we meant, that's a step forward. And I think that's we need to be willing to employ all of our tools and all of our gifts to do that, because the other side is certainly doing that and at times lying in wait on us. And I think this is one step to clarifying what exactly Amendment 2 has done and means.
Ed Martin is an attorney from Missouri Roundtable for Life. Ed, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it very much.
You can find a link to Missouri Roundtable for Life under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand. You'll find that link to Missouri Roundtable for Life. When we come back, well, we've talked a bit here about embryonic stem cell research and its connection to cloning. We'll find out exactly how the two are connected. What is the difference between stem cell research in general and embryonic stem cell research as a subset of that? What about those adult stem cells? And what are the real ethical concerns regarding the embryo and stem cells? Scott Klusendorf will be our guest right after this break. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.